There was a Sunday school teacher who decided that it would be a good idea for her to teach her young students the 23rd Psalm. And so about a month before she was going to have them recite it, and she built up and said, we're going to go up in front of the church and we're going to recite the 23rd Psalm. She began working with them, and poor little Ricky just couldn't get it. No matter how much he worked on the 23rd Psalm, he got nowhere. He couldn't even get, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He got, the Lord is my shepherd, and so anyway, she's working with him for a month, and it comes to the Sunday when he's standing in front of the congregation, which in itself is a fearful thing, but he stands in front of the congregation, and he says, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know. Our text for this morning is not Psalm 23, but it certainly makes you think of it. Our text is John chapter 10, verses 1 through 14 or 15, depending on where I decide to stop. It'll be one of those two. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not know own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. This is the word of the Lord. Gracious Father, as we look to your word now, we ask that you would open our eyes to the lessons you have for each of us individuals today. May we leave here today knowing we have met with you and that you have taught us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you and you alone, Lord God. Amen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. This statement is one of either 7 or 8 I am statements in the Gospel of John. I say the 7 or 8 because there are actually 8 of them, but normally people only count 7. The 8th one being the passage where in John chapter 9, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. That incredible claim to deity using the name that the Jews used for God. So he was calling himself God. That's the 8th of the I am statements in the Gospel of John. But generally, if you look up and say, what are the I am statements in the Gospel of John? You're going to come with a list of 7. And those include this from John chapter 6. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst. He is the bread of life. Of course, Jesus made that statement as he broke bread and fed 5,000 with a couple of fish and loaves of bread. Then in John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So in the first 2 I am statements, Jesus has pointed people to himself as the provider of sustenance and the provider of light of life. And then in John chapter 10, the passage we just read, there's actually two of the I am statements. In verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And Jesus is mixing this metaphor of talking about salvation and also talking about what the shepherd did in leading people into an enclosed enclosed area at night. And in the morning, the shepherd would call the sheep, and generally they would have more than one flock of sheep inside the enclosure. So numerous shepherds would come, and there would be a gatekeeper who would recognize the shepherd, and the shepherd would come and call his sheep, and the sheep would go out and follow the shepherd. And then Jesus says, after he says, I am the door, anyone who enters by me will be saved, and he will go in and out and receive pasture. Jesus says the passage we're going to look at seriously today, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In John chapter 11, the passage we'll look at next week, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Jesus in the I am statements is pointing us to the reality that we have to come to faith in him. In John chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus here is talking about the exclusivity of faith in Jesus Christ as a means to heaven. And in John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a hugely powerful statement that Jesus makes, because we spend most of our life attempting to do things apart from Christ. We spend most of our life attempting to do things on our own, but we'll talk about that later. These seven I am statements tell us something significant about Jesus and his view of himself, and they tell us some great theological truths, and I encourage you to spend some time over the next few weeks reading each of these statements in context to reflect upon how Jesus describes himself and his role in our lives. But today, we want to look at the statement, I am the good shepherd, and specifically we're going to look at some benefits that we receive by having Jesus as our good shepherd. And we want to do it both from within the context of John chapter 10 and lessons learned from Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, which is so familiar to any one of you who have actually attended a funeral service. Am I right? You got to hear Psalm 23 at a funeral service. Not sure I know why, but that's okay. It talks to us about what the good shepherd is. However, just before Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he makes the statement, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. So before Jesus makes the claim to be the good shepherd, he is going to make a statement concerning who he is a shepherd to. Those who are saved, who have gone into the sheepfold through faith in Jesus Christ. And so honestly, all that is going to be said from this point on only applies to those people who have entered by faith into the family of God, into the sheepfold of God. So if you want the benefits of a good shepherd, you have to be part of his sheepfold. If you want to be part of his sheepfold, you have to have faith in Jesus Christ. And so, if you're on the fence, and you're not sure you want to believe in Jesus Christ, you're not sure you do believe in Jesus Christ, now is a really good time to respond to him in faith. It all it takes is a simple step of faith to say, I choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the door. I choose to believe that he is the bread of life. I choose to believe he is the light of the world. I choose to believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through him. I choose to believe all the I am statements of Jesus Christ, that he is the door, and therefore, when I choose that, I know that he is my good shepherd. And you can do that right now. A simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to believe in Jesus Christ. You can even say, help my unbelief. There's some biblical evidence that others have done the same thing. But in order for us to get the benefits of the Good Shepherd, we have to make sure we're part of his fold. Amen? Amen. Now, if you want, we can stop and I can have an altar call. But I know most of you, so we won't do that. But come. Come in faith to Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd. Only to those who enter through faith in Him. Only to those who are saved because they have chosen faith in Christ. And when you know the good shepherd, and when you are a part of His flock, there are beautiful results which flow out of knowing the good shepherd. The first is this. When you know the shepherd, you are significant. We spend a lot of our lives as human beings in the search for significance. As I get older, and I'm pushing 60 now, I reflect on my life and I think, how will I be remembered? Have I done anything which is really significant in the world? Have I touched people in a way that will carry on from the next generation to the next generation? Every individual eventually goes through that process. Because we want to be significant. We want to be known. Even if it's just being known by our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, we want to have influence. We want to know that it was worth it, all the things we worked for. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And He knows our name. He knows our name, and we know His voice. Ponder this. The text says that He knows our name. So ponder this. If Jesus was going to give you a nickname, what would it be? See, the text is very clear. The sheep hear His voice. He calls His own sheep by name. What is the name that Jesus would give you? Not the name your mom and dad gave you, but the name Jesus would give you. Okay, there are some names out of bounds. He doesn't call you stupid. That's not in His name repertoire. He might call you son of encouragement. He might call you best friend. Maybe Jesus has a big, huge necklace with BFF on it, and you've got the other half of it. What would Jesus call you? He's not going to call you idiot. He's not going to call you sinner. He's going to call you something nice. Something which identifies you as the characteristics which He sees as most important in you. It's an amazing thought. The Creator of the universe knows your name. The name that you had before the beginning of time. The name you had before your parents even thought to get married, much less have a child. He knows your name. There are 7.4 billion people in the world. There's about 100, 110 of us here right now. And I'm guessing that there's probably only 5 of us that can say every person's name in this room. But Jesus can say every name, every middle name, every name you've ever called yourself, every name you've ever called your spouse, every name you want to be called. He knows everything about you. You have that much significance to the Lord of the universe. He knows your name. He knows how beautifully you sing when you think you're singing horribly, because He says He wants you to make a joyful noise. And your joyful noise is beautiful to His eyes, to His ears. So maybe He hears through His eyes. I don't know. He's God. He can do it if He wants to, I guess. The point is this. You don't need a name tag for God to know you. You don't need someone to go around and say, please, write your name on this. By the way, someone asked me this morning. You know, they didn't know what their name to put on there, and so I spelled their name backwards. I said, here, wear this, or you can write your own. They chose to put their own on there. Jesus has chosen a name for you. He knows you by name. He calls your name. When He calls out to you, He says, come, follow me. I will give you peace. I will give you the path of righteousness. It's incredible that God cares about you. He leads us in the paths of righteousness, calling us by name for His name's sake. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because He knows our name. And in the midst of the most fearful times of life, He calls our name. He is with us. He comforts us. We are significant. You are significant. It doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter how insignificant you feel at work or at school or play. It doesn't matter how insignificant you feel in the rest of your time on this earth. But when you come with God, you know He is the good shepherd who knows your name, who calls you and you hear His voice, and you are significant. Second benefit, when you know the shepherd, you are absolutely secure. Look at verses 7 and 8 of our text. Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You are secure. It's not a hired hand. He who is a hired man, verse 12, is not a shepherd, does not know the sheep, doesn't own the sheep. He leaves when danger comes. The wolf snatches them away. Shepherds always lead their sheep to safety. And later on in the chapter, verse 29, Jesus says these incredible words. My Father, who has given them to me, the sheep to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. We have incredible security because Christ is the Good Shepherd. We have incredible security knowing that once we have entered by that door, once we have come into the sheepfold, no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. I don't know how you can read this and believe that you're going to lose your salvation. To me, it seems crystal clear. The Scripture teaches that once you have come into the flock of God, once you've been adopted into the family of God, you are absolutely secure. There is a problem, of course, and that is that sometimes we confuse security with assurance. We believe in the doctrine of eternal security. We believe that no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. But then we live our lives. We do the things that we're inclined to do. You know, sin. And then when we do that, we start wondering, well, if I was really saved, would I really have this ongoing battle with sin? And we start to rate ourselves and we think, well, surely God must not love me because I keep on doing the things I don't want to do. I keep on blowing it, and therefore, if God were human, then He'd say, I've had enough of this, three strikes and you're out. But God doesn't ever say three strikes and you're out. What He does is He keeps calling us by our special name, saying, come back to me. Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me. No one can snatch you out of my Father's hands. You are absolutely secure. And the problem is that when we think that we have to have assurance, that goes away. If you want assurance of your salvation, here's the key to assurance of salvation. Do what God tells you to do. And then you'll have assurance of salvation. It doesn't get you salvation, it just gives you the assurance. It doesn't give you the security. You've got the security. It just gives you the assurance. You know, when you know the shepherd, you are secure. You don't have to worry. Have I gone a step too far? Have I crossed the final line which God's going to cast me out of heaven? No, once you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, once you have come into the sheepfold through the door, once you have accepted Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, then you are secure. Psalm 23 would put it this way. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. There's a sense of just security. You know, sheep, everybody that I've ever talked to about sheep always says one thing about sheep. They're really stupid. Now, this is the time when I, in my less thinking times, would name a city that they come from. You know, the sheep are like everybody from... fill in the blank with a city you want to diss. I don't want to diss a city right now, but sheep know when there's something wrong. And they won't lay down if there's not peace. That's why the shepherd says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. There's contentment and security. That's why they're beside still waters. Because the shepherd knows that's what the sheep need. And the good shepherd wants to give to you this sense of peace and security. So the second benefit of a shepherd. And the third is this. When you have the shepherd, you can be satisfied. You know you can be satisfied. Look at verse 10 of our text. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That phrase ought to transform our lives. Why did Jesus give us life? Why did Jesus come as the good shepherd? So that we can eke our way through life and scratch and hope that we can have some measure of satisfaction? Jesus said, I came to give you life and that abundantly. Now, this is not a promise that we will have a huge bank account. It is not a promise that we will have ample food in this life. But it is a promise that we will have incredible satisfaction. For the good shepherd has come in order that we might be satisfied. And the greatest satisfaction in life ultimately comes through submission to the shepherd. In verse 4, it talks about the sheep following the shepherd. You know what happens if there is a sheep that consistently doesn't follow the shepherd? The shepherd finds a way to convince that sheep. They carried a staff and a club. Years ago, I actually was candidating at a church. The search committee wanted me to come as pastor, and when I came to candidate, I discovered that there was a huge theological divide within the congregation. About a third of the congregation simply did not believe evangelical free church doctrine. And I was able to pick it up because I happened to be tuned into that particular doctrine. And the result was that we had this discussion, and it's really not a good thing to get into an argument with the people in the church when you're candidating. But they talked about, well, what are you going to do with this? And I said, you know, as a shepherd, you carry a staff, which has, that thing that has the hook on it, and then you pull the sheep close, and then you have a club. And you know what you do with a club? You beat that dumb sheep. And I said, the reality is that if there's a sheep that leads others away, the shepherd eventually has lamb chops. You know, the best way to satisfaction in the life of Christ is to follow Christ, is to do what He calls upon you to do. The best way to be satisfied, the best way to know that we can be content, is to follow Him. And here's a thought. If you are not satisfied with life, if you are not satisfied within your marriage, if you're not satisfied within your workplace, if you're not satisfied with yourself, maybe you should seek God's voice and submit to it. This is countercultural. Because our culture tells us to do what we want to do, regardless of what the Scripture tells us to do. The Scripture tells us, just go your own way, do what you want, selectively read the Scripture, obey the part that you like, and don't care about the rest of it. And the result of that lifestyle is misery, is lack of satisfaction, is no embracing of this abundant life which Christ offers. The shepherd's psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That talks of satisfaction. He restores my soul. You see, as we come to follow Christ, there is a restoration of our soul as we recognize we are in sync with the Creator of the universe. The psalmist goes on, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Wouldn't that be great? A lot of our dissatisfaction in life is the idea that our enemies are getting ahead. But at the end of the day, when the trumpet sounds, who's preparing dinner for us? He anoints our head with oil. Our cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. Even when things don't seem to be going well, when we have Christ as the shepherd, we know that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Because of that, you are incredibly significant. Your assignment. What's the nickname Jesus would give to you? Start writing it down. Say, "I think Jesus would call me this." Keep ruminating over that and ask yourself, is that really what Jesus would call me? Do it in the moments when you're down and do it in the moments when you're up, and then cross out the ones that you said when you were down. Because we tend to be self-critical, and Jesus is not going to be critical of you when he gives you a nickname. Remember, you are significant. 7.4 billion people in the world, and he knows your name. And he knows how to spell it. Frontwards, backwards, he knows how to spell it in Hebrew, Greek, Latin, and whatever language he chooses to. You are significant. You are secure. And you can be satisfied. But that satisfaction comes from knowing the Good Shepherd and following his voice. If you know the Good Shepherd but you don't follow his voice, you're not going to be satisfied. It's plain and simple. For the Good Shepherd is going to continue to call you. He's going to take that staff. He's going to pull you close to him. And eventually, if you keep on walking away from him, he's going to take that club and just give you a little spanking. Say, "Come on, my friend. Follow the Good Shepherd." Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep." Now, of course, that is a prediction of what's going to happen in the life of Jesus as he dies upon the cross, not for his sins, but for ours, in order that he, the door, might be the way, the truth, and the life, whereby all men come to the Father.